For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I hope your journey's going good. You know, I'm still learning just like you and everybody else. It never stops. You never stop learning about spiritual things in martial arts, we always say that we're students. We can never know it all. And that is the case with my black belt that I received many years ago. It's midnight blue. It's not black. Under the Tung Sido philosophy, that meaning that you could never learn it all. There's always more to learn. So I'm very proud to wear that belt. But anyway, my assignment for this week, I come to understandings and spiritual reasonings every week, and I feel like I have a certain assignment, and it's my job as a communicator to be able to get this assignment out to maybe help you along your journey. And if I can do that in my own little way, I'm doing what I'm called to do, and hopefully there's much more than that. But this is good, and whether one person's listening or a million people are listening, it doesn't matter, because if you're called to do something, you have to do it, and you never look at the results. See, as a society, we're always taught that results are the bottom line, and your success is proven by your results. The spirit realm operates differently. The spirit realm doesn't care about results, for lack of a better way to put it. The spirit realm says it has to go forth. It has to come through, and God will take care of the rest. And the right people who need to hear it at the right time, they'll be able to do that in a very spiritual way. So that's why I do what I do. Sometimes I get feedback, and they go, wow, you know, Karen, that's exactly what I needed to hear right on this very moment in time. This very day, I needed to hear what you said. And I tell them, I don't doubt it. That's the way God works. I want to talk to you a little bit about today. About a subject I've actually hit on before, and it's called making someone to feel worthless and the repercussions of that. That's been heavy on my heart. I see a lot of things in Facebook, just like you do, and other means of social media and general media, and I see, wow, you know, I don't think that person realizes this, and their ventilation, they're causing someone to feel worthless. And I don't care if it's the king of the country or the lowest person on the street. When you do that and you speak negative worthlessness on people, there are repercussions for that. Not just repercussions for the person you're speaking it on, but repercussions for yourself. Because when you have negative things coming out of your mouth, ladies and gentlemen, you will attract negative things into your life. When you have positive things coming out of your mouth, you're going to attract positive things into your life. That's why it's so very important that you speak good things, not just about other people, but about yourself. In the book of Proverbs, out of your mouth will come life or death. Yes, you can even speak death on yourself. So don't even kid around with that. Don't even say things bad about yourself, how you'll be better off dead or things like that, because you're speaking it on yourself. You divert your journey, your good journey of being spiritual, on a totally different path, and that path is not a good path. It's very important that you understand that everything you say is something, because there's power in it. When you talk about God, He created the heavens and the earth. He created it by speaking it into being, and that's how powerful it is, because we are created in the image of God. Therefore, the things that we say have major impact on other people and on ourselves. Let's start from the beginning with children. Be careful, mom and dads. Be careful, karate instructors and everybody else that work with children. I got to tell you personally, I never felt like I wanted to work with kids, but for some reason, kids are always in my path. And I'll tell you, I make sure I go out of my way not to mistreat kids. I always try to treat the children very, very well. And there is, in the book of Matthew, The teachings say don't mistreat children because their angels will report it back to Father God, the things that you do, and you got to pay for that. It's very important that you do right by kids. I know sometimes they can test you and try you, and some kids are way better at testing and trying you than other kids. I get it. I worked in the Denver ghetto for 3 years, and I worked with kids for 3 years. I look back and I think, and I can tell you, not one child can ever say I mistreated them. Some of those adults, different story, especially if they worked under me. Because if they're working with children, I had higher priorities for them, and they had to adhere to these higher priorities. And if they didn't do it, I gave them heck for it. But when it came to children, I always made sure that they weren't mistreated. And I think you could go to any one of the children that I've worked with and teaching in martial arts, and they'll tell you the same thing. You've got to be good to love. They won't know how to love people when they grow up. You've got to show young people love so they will know how to love when they grow up. All we are, guys, are these walking sponges of what we've absorbed our entire life. That's all we are. And if we absorbed all the right and good things growing up in our formative years, we're going to expend that later. If the right things weren't absorbed in our formative years, guess what? Well, first of all, we waste a lot of time trying to reroute and figure out what good things are, what goodness is, so we can expend it properly, not just to our own offspring, but to the world. Because we've all been created for a purpose. And it's very important that we know that as time continues to tick away and we get older and older and older, somewhere you have to have a realization that you're here with a purpose. And the first step of that purpose is understanding that we were not created to cause people to suffer and to make them feel worthless. I have a theory that people feeling worthless is the root of every evil out there. If you think about it, everything that could happen or go wrong that would cause another person to suffer comes from somebody else feeling a sense of worthlessness. Anything. I challenge you to think of anything. It's so important that you lift people up. Lift up one another. That is a command straight from the Bible, to lift up one another. And it's very important that you do that. You're not going to like everybody. Hey, I'm the queen of that. You don't have to tell me. I can be extremely antisocial. But I'm always careful that I don't publicly say anything that would go against anyone, not in any way, shape, or form. Because I don't want to cause someone to have a sense of worthlessness. Because in doing so, I cause them to become unfocused and not be able to grasp all the goodness and the fullness that God has for them in their life. I don't want that on my head, that I cause someone to feel that way. That's why the Bible explicitly says, as a human being, when you falter and you fail, if you cause someone grief or have done something wrong, make sure you go fix it. Fix it before the sun goes down. If you know that you've caused someone to suffer, if you cause them grief, people make mistakes. Mistakes can be corrected. But you need to be very proactive in making sure that you take care of that situation, because you do create a bad juju. You create it for the person that's suffering, and you create it for yourself. Spiritual ramifications, they snowball. Good things snowball. Good things happen to good people. Bad things snowball. I know some people, and they honestly feel like nothing ever goes right in their life. And I can understand that, because back in my younger days, when I was coming out of a very hard childhood and I was a young woman, I felt that. I felt like every day I had to fight something. I had to battle something. Nothing would ever go my way. It just seemed like so much effort to have to constantly get up every day and fight something in some way, something that went wrong. And then I came to a reasoning. I came to an understanding that, you know what, perhaps I'm causing it to be this way. Maybe I'm speaking it to be this way. Maybe I'm constantly complaining about how everything's going wrong, and then everything just goes wrong all over again. Maybe I have an attitude, a way that I look at things in life because of the way that I was brought up, and I have to switch that. And I did switch it. Sometimes switchery, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a lifetime. Sometimes that switchery stuff takes a long time, let me tell you. It's not instant. It's not easy. But once you acknowledge it and you realize what's going on, at least you're on the right path to start to make change in your life. You can't let somebody's negativity control you, first of all. Well, I know it wasn't your fault because you were a kid or a young person or whatever, someone mistreated you. You know, your husband cheated on you, your wife cheated on you. I know there's a million things that go wrong in this world, and I know that you suffered because the Bible says you did. The Bible says when you're born into this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's trouble. Nobody's immune from it. But Jesus Christ said, listen, I want you to be happy. Everything's going to be okay because I've already overcome all those problems for you, and you don't have to live in that muck. Jesus Christ said that. It's very true that the spirit of worthlessness is the greatest evil, in my opinion, that causes horrible things to happen for you and for everybody else. Think about the things that you say out of anger, especially to your kids. If you do that, if they're your kids or you teach kids or whatever, you could be causing them to have major issues that they may never get over for the rest of their life. They remember things. You don't even remember them maybe, but they remember them, the way you made them feel worthless. And now they have to go through their life as young adults and try to figure out how they can reprogram this. And some of them never even realize what's going on, and they go into drugs and alcohol or you know, whatever, and they spend their whole life trying to rewind and fix and rewind and fix. I call it laying down the foundation. The foundation of their life was not laid down correctly, and now they have to spend the rest of their life trying to figure it out. Take that piece out, put this piece in. There's always an underlying problem when the spirit of addiction has come upon somebody. There's an underlying problem. I call them spirits. I do. This is a spiritual problem, a spiritual matter. And anybody who's had to grow up with a guardian or a parent under the spirit of addiction, you know what an evil that is right there. The fear that you had to deal with as a child, the uncertainty, the sense of no safety as children, of not being protected because of the evil of the spirit of addiction, that messes with you for the rest of your life. You pay for that when you go into relationships. Come on, you haven't figured that out? Well, good. Then I probably just saved you a boatload of money right there. You don't have to go into therapy. Let me tell you, it causes problems in relationships. When you have a parent who is under the spirit of addiction, or you have a parent that was emotionally unstable, and they mirrored that and they put that on you because of their instability, their emotional and mental instability caused you to go into life and have a boatload of issues that you're going to have to sort through, including relationships. Be careful what you say, ladies and gentlemen. I felt led to say that. If you know you've caused suffering on someone because of something you said, you need to go fix it. This is the right thing to do with spiritual people. You can't go along your journey and pretend like everything loving and comfy is coming your way when you cause damage on somebody. Don't care who it is. This is something that needs to be fixed. I know there are people that go through their old lives never fixing the damage that they've done. You're causing the people you damaged to have to go through their whole life, step by step, to figure out what they need to take out and put back in. It's a horrible evil. And so when you're raising your children or you're working with children, please keep that in mind. Kind of like all kids are your kids. I mean, you need to treat all kids like you would treat your own kids. I know some of them are difficult. But you know what? Everything that you can do to make a difference in the lives of these young people is only going to help all of us. I've had the discipline. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't discipline, but when I do discipline, I discipline with love, and I make sure that they understand what's going on. I make sure that they understand why things are the way that they are and how they're responsible for their actions. Take the extra time to explain it, and don't just act out of anger. Don't get mad at people, and you know it doesn't work. You know you feel terrible, and you know sometimes there are people that are so patient, they'll constantly forgive you. But there are other times you've ruined it. And in the back of their mind, they'll always remember that because of the things they've gone through in their life. And it's very difficult to fix. Let's do the right thing. Something else that you need to do is you need to be good to people. The Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mean the person in your next door neighbor. It means anybody in your vicinity. anybody in your vicinity at any time of day, can you love them like you love yourself? Hey, I love myself. I love to give myself designer purses. I feel so good. I make myself feel so good when I go get a designer purse. Can I do that to the people in my vicinity? That is a level of spirituality, ladies and gentlemen, that I have not reached. I am working on it, trust me. I've come a long way. You should have seen me in my 20s. Woo! I was a mad little hornet there at times. It's funny, I learned how to fight martial arts and it calmed me down. I don't know why. It's very true. Try to do good things to other people and don't expect anything in return. I'm not making up these rules. Read your Bible. Read the things that Jesus said. When you do these things, you become wealthy. Now hear me out. There's a difference between being wealthy and being rich. You could work 40 to 80 hours a week, be at the right place at the right time, and make a lot of money. And most everybody that does that will do it that way. But you work hard for your money. You work very hard for your money, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're rich from working for your hard for your money. But when you're wealthy, ladies and gentlemen, that money comes in and those needs and those supplies come in and you don't have to work that hard for it. That's what being wealthy is. Strive to be wealthy, not rich. In wealth, you have the love and the support of people behind you. In being wealthy, you know that you don't have to toil. You don't have to put your health on the line to have money coming in. The Bible specifically talks about how you can be wealthy and have money coming in. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, people get upset sometimes because the word of faith, which is a type of Christian philosophy, says that God wants you to be wealthy and have good things. And people think a lot of times, well, no, that's not what it's all about. Well, let me challenge you. I mean, what do you want us to drudge and drag our head and live in a shack on the side of the street? Of course God wants you to be blessed. You don't have to focus on money or being rich to be wealthy. You can be wealthy just by going out and doing the principles of Jesus Christ. You're like, what? It's very true. Seek first the kingdom of God. Try to do the right thing, and anything and everything you could want or need, ladies and gentlemen, will be given to you. Boy, I wish I made that up, but I didn't. All stuff in the Bible. I say this as much as I can to you because that's walk and walk right there. That separates people who sit in a hard church bench on Sunday and people who actually are proactive for their faith. Do good things to people and don't expect anything in return. And watch what an incredible thing happens. All of your needs get supplied. All of your wants you get. It just goes into place and you become wealthy. When good things happen to me and I shared to people are like, oh, yeah, well, that's great. Well, thank you. But they're like, of course, Karen, it's you. You know, you've got some kind of direct megaphone to God's ear or something. No, I don't. I don't any more than anybody else. I do have knowledge. And people perish for lack of knowledge. And that's also in the Bible. You got to study it and learn it to know how to make it work, guys. You have to know what's in there to make it work. I'm not any more special than anybody else. Jesus Christ, he made the sacrifice for everybody. Everybody, not just me. But I do know the principles and how to put them in place. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I am telling you I know what they are. And that comes from studying it. You know, you study martial arts, those of you who train. See, I'm going on 30 years next year. 30 years of teaching and training in martial arts. I've studied it and practiced and trained. I mean, that's how you get good at it, right? Well, you got to do that spiritually, guys. You got to study it, and you got to practice it, and you got to train in it. There are rules and regulations I call spiritual isms. Don't depend on me and other people just to give them to you. You got to go out and get them and study them for yourself. Have revelation knowledge through the Holy Spirit to let him lead you and teach you these things that are in there. You know, people pick up the Bible and finally blow the dust off and go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and they're reading all these stories and stories, and then it gets really kind of crazy with all the Habakkuk and the all that, all the prophets, the major and minor prophets and all that stuff. Listen, I want you to go right to the Gospels and teachings of Christ. There's nothing wrong with the Old Testament. It's great support stuff, but it's all about getting Christ here. That's the Old Testament, about getting Christ here. That's what it's all about. I mean, if you read it, you'll see what I mean. All these things happening here where there's a battle of good and evil, where the devil's constantly trying to take out the world, mankind, switch the Israelites so they don't believe the way they're supposed to believe, they don't walk the walk, all this stuff to foil the plans of getting the Savior to earth, but it didn't work. God had to get real creative there at times, but it didn't work. But now we have the New Testament and the teachings of Christ, where he says, look, I'm paying the price for you. Do you know why that crucifix is a big deal? Do you have it tattooed on you? Are you wearing it around your neck on a pendant? Do you have them hanging on your wall? Do you know why you do that? And maybe you just do it and you feel like, well, I should do it and I don't know why. There's just something about it. You're correct. There's something about that. That incredible spiritual sacrifice is the reason why we all get eternal life. Now, where you choose to spend eternal life, that's up to you. But you can spend it in heaven for all eternity if you believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, I know I'm sounding very religious. I try to warn you. You know, this is the truth as I know it, and me standing in it, according to what I read in the Bible, is you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of you do. And I know a lot of you do believe, and you don't do anything more than that because you don't know what to do. And I don't necessarily think that's anybody's fault. I just think that people aren't being taught correctly. You know, you go to karate class, and you don't know anything other than white belt because no one ever taught you correctly, then you're going to be a white belt for the rest of your life. It's the same thing spiritually. You got to get some good teachers. You've got to study and make the commitment to train and study spiritually, and you got to get some good teachers out there. A lot of teachers are just wanting to tell you what you want to hear. Hey, it's in martial arts too. A lot of teachers tell you what you want to hear. Oh, you're so good. Oh, yeah, right. You will be good someday, you know, but very few people are really good at something like martial arts training right off the bat. I mean, you can't. Some people go faster than others. Don't get me wrong. They get better than others. That has nothing to do with whether or not they're going to make it. But listen, you have to put something into it. Expend some time and energy into your spiritual journey, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I don't know how to live any other way because life is so fearful. And in this world, you have trials and troubles. The Bible calls tribulations. And I don't know how you could go through this world and not believe that there is someone who's already paid the price for you to have good things. For miracles to take place in your life, for healings to take place, for damaged relationships to be healed, for money to come in. I mentioned three things that a lot of you people are going, it's not anything that I've comprehended prophetically. Everybody has problems in that category, in those three categories. Everybody. That's what the devil does. He attacks you in those three ways, in health, and or money, and or in relationships. And I know people right now are being attacked in all three ways. And they're upset about it. And I come along and say, listen, man, the devil's trying to take you out. Obviously, God's got some great stuff for you coming up. Can you believe it? Do you believe it? Can you walk it? In your pain, can you be good to other people? In your pain, can you still be kind to other people? Can you go out and do good things, even if you crawl over to do it? Can you do something good? Why, Karen? Because it's going to change everything. When you expend love in the name of Christ, our Lord, to other people who have needs, you're going to change your life. There it is. This is good stuff. And it's basic to the point stuff. And I know I'm always to the point, but I'm busy and so are you. So let's just get to the point. Let's just get to the point. It will change the atmosphere of your life. If every intent in your heart was to love people around you the way you love yourself, love all these other kids out here the way you love your own kids. Don't speak bad about anybody. Listen to me. Especially you martial arts instructors, you irritate me with your mouth, the things you say on social media. Do you not know who you are? That people are watching you because you're a community leader, because you are in their mind, or Bruce Lee, who can do all these amazing things, and here you're bad-mouthing somebody else. Don't bad-mouth anybody. Don't bad-mouth any race, any religion. Don't bad-mouth any politic, any president, any non-president. Cut it out. That negativity that you're causing other people, because you want to vent, for whatever reason you want to vent publicly, you're bringing more demise on yourself. You're changing your atmosphere so bad things will happen to you, and you attract more of it your way. It's all becoming a snowball effect. So let's just cut that out. Know that out of our mouth comes life or death. We speak these things, and that is very important for us as people on a spiritual journey. It's not like I don't have thoughts about people. Listen, trust me, I do. I do, man. And I have one or two friends that I may toss stuff back and forth, but I would never publicly cause anybody to feel like I made them feel worthless. I don't want to make anybody feel worthless. I don't care who it is. All of us created in the image of God. You're going to attract more people with love. And if you can't show love, just keep your mouth shut. How about that? At least you won't cause things to happen publicly. I mean, public worthlessness and humiliation will cause things to happen. The devil would love to take you out if you say you're a spiritual person. Oh, he'd really love to take you out if you believe in Jesus Christ. Woo! Man, don't you know this stuff? Did no one ever tell you when you confessed, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ, you did a war cry in the spirit realm? And every spiritual entity and being out there turned around and looked at you. The Bible says the angels clapped. When you confessed Jesus Christ, thousands of angels were clapping. Guess what the enemy was doing? Thinking about how they can demise you and take you out. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be with your mouth, with you feeling worthless, or you making somebody else feel worthless. 9 times out of 10. Yeah, I know, so be careful. I got to be careful, too. I'm a communicator. I can communicate really good things and ask people around me. I can communicate really bad things. I have power in my tongue. Not only do I have that, like you do and everybody else, but I'm darn good at getting it out there. So be careful. Those of you have power in your mouth that know how to communicate. Watch the things you say. Oh. If you've offended somebody, even if it wasn't offensive to you and you don't understand it, but you think you may have offended somebody, you got to go fix it. Say, look, you know, don't say, I don't know why you're offended. That's not fixing it. Just saying, for whatever reason, at this moment and place in your time, I see that I've offended you and I apologize. You don't need to be sorry. If you don't feel you're sorry, don't say you're sorry, but at least extend an apology. I apologize. At least get it off of you. They may not forgive you. I don't know. People are different. But at least you get it off of you so there's no bad juju on you. Don't give any little building blocks for evil spirits to develop on you, in you, and around you. In this world, there is real evil, guys. This is all stuff in the Bible. But you have full dominion, power, and authority over anything evil. You just have to know how to swing that sword. And you got to train. You got to train on how to swing that sword. Spiritual sword. I tried a little bit of sword training this summer. I wasn't too bad at it, but I made mistakes. But I think about that in the spirit realm. We have a heavy sword to carry. We have to use it, and we have to train on how to use that spiritual sword. Because not only can we damage other people if we do it wrong, we can cut our own hand off. Well, that is my assignment for this week. Hope you got something out of it. We'll do it again next week. We'll see what happens between now and next time, now and next Monday when this show airs, and see what else happens here. Every day is a journey. Don't discount it. Don't waste it. You were brought here as a creation in the image of God for a reason. Figure out what it is and do it. How do I do that? Start with your gifts. What are you gifted with? What is your wiring? What are you good at? Sometimes I can help people pinpoint that. Say, I can tell this is what you're good at. So you need to use this for the spirit realm. Use it. Surround it. Wrap it in love. And use it to make a difference in this world. That's what it's all about. I hope you guys got something good out of this. And I will see you next time on the Eden Assignment, okay? God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.